Good afternoon, good evening, or wherever you may be in the world. This is Larry Elliott, WFYT Blog Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live now from Nashville, Tennessee, our Blog Talk studio here in the musical city. I'm so glad that all of our guests have decided to join us today. We have a very, very interesting show. We're going to be talking to a doctor, a gentleman that has accomplished a lot in his field of cosmetic surgery. And I want to have you give us a call here at our studios, if you will. Our number is 347-205-9429. Also, you can email us at Elliott, E-L-L-I-O-T-T, 21, U-S, at yahoo.com. We are tweeting this broadcast live as we speak, and also to Facebook. So anybody that's on Twitter or Facebook, be sure to give us a tweet here at Find Your Traffic. That's Find Your Traffic. We're going to bring our guest on the air in a few moments and let him explain to us. We have Dr. Michael Nicoli, I may be pronouncing his name wrong, but he will correct me when he comes on the air. He is from Newport Beach, California, very beautiful part of our beautiful country. So I'm going to bring him on the air now and ask him to introduce himself to us and also tell us a little bit about what he does and how he got involved in this field. Dr. Michael, are you on the air with us?
Yes. Hi, Larry. I am on the line, and it's pronounced Nicoli, N-I-C-C-O-L-E.
Sorry about that. Nicoli.
No problem. You had it right the first time. It was perfect.
Yeah. Doc, we are so glad to have you on the air this afternoon with us. We are broadcasting, as I said earlier, about 33 million listeners. We're going to be having some people to call in and also to be tweeting and also be Facebooking as we speak. Doctor, I want to ask you a couple of questions. You have a very, very interesting background and a very interesting practice. If you would, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and actually what got you interested in this type field?
Well, I've been doing humanitarian type things because of our family. We've done a lot of volunteer work, and over the years I spent some time with some doctors out of the country allocating and donating time to third world countries and mm-hmm. helping children with cleft lip and cleft palates, and that got me started. And then I did that for about 20 years along with my practice. I'm the medical director of a facility in Newport Beach, California called Cosmetic Care, and you can mm-hmm. pick it up on cosmeticcare.com. But at the present time, after 30 years, I've the majority of my practice today relates around cosmetic surgery. And even the cleft lips and palates that I did over the years in Argentina and Brazil and Mexico, these were kids that had deformities that we corrected. And again, a form of cosmetic surgery, but under the auspices of a reconstructive surgery, but they were cosmetic procedures.
I see. Well, let me ask you this question. That's very interesting. What is the difference between cosmetic surgery and reconstructive surgery? Is there a difference?
Well, cosmetic surgery is elective surgery where people come in and just want to beautify or enhance their looks, whether it be eyelid surgery, breast surgery, liposuction. Reconstructive surgery just changes the features. Like if you had a burn and you had disfigurement, or if you had you were born with a deformity, reconstruct goes in there and not totally cosmetic. Like for instance, if you had breast cancer and they had to remove a breast, that's considered reconstructive surgery because it's mm-hmm. not. It is to beautify you. You're still trying to make the person look better, but it's under the auspices of a reconstructive. You're changing the body. Where on a cosmetic procedure, you don't really change it. You enhance it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, we've got an email in here, doctor. This person want to ask you a question, if you would like to take an email or so. This particular person emails us, and they wanted to know about the type of surgery that Michael Jackson possibly had. And this person, his name is Gene Bacon from Atlanta, Georgia. And what Gene wants to know, she would like to know, is that type of a surgery, is that reconstructive or is it plastic surgery, or is there a certain time that you can really go too far with surgery?
Well, yes, you can go too far. There's no question. And you know, he may be considered by a lot of people going beyond too far. Now, mm-hmm. the majority of his surgery was cosmetic surgery.
Okay.
From nose to, bleaching of the skin, whether it was from a deformity of the skin because of a condition. Nevertheless, the skin was lightened. His nose was done. His cheekbones. He had a lot of cosmetic procedures, no reconstructive procedure. Although when he was burnt, now he was burnt, and he had some alopecia, which means a loss of hair and pigmentation in the scalp because of that one incident where when he was, I think, doing a Pepsi commercial or a Coca-Cola commercial, he got a burn injury. Now, that is reconstructive surgery.
But okay, I understand.
But all of the facial features and all of the facial enhancements and the noses and the eyelid surgery, those were all cosmetic procedures. A little overdone, but still cosmetic procedures. And that's why it's important to go to a board-certified plastic surgeon. So hopefully that kind of thing wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm. We're broadcasting live, Blog Talk Radio, 33 million listeners strong. We're on the air live with Dr. Michael Nicoli. And, Doc, let me ask you a question. What type of training or maybe education is required for one to specialize in plastic surgery? Is it a specialty that you go through in med school, or how do you go about doing this?
Well, you go to high school, and then you decide, from high school what trade you want, and then I decided to go into, medicine. So right out of high school, I went to 4 years of undergraduate training. Then mm-hmm. I went to 4 years of medical school. And then I did 2 years of training, which was called in general surgery. That was mm-hmm. a residency. Then I went to 3 years of ear, nose, and throat residency training, and then 2 years of plastic and reconstructive training. So it was 15 years after I graduated from high school of vigorous training.
Wow.
That's the difference between a board-certified plastic surgeon and, say, maybe a cosmetic surgeon who mm-hmm. may only go, four or 5 years. It's an extensive...
That's fascinating. That is fascinating. See, this is the reason why I would like for my guests, particularly in the Southern California area, to give you a call, because... Wow, that's a lot of training, doctor. That's a lot of training.
Yeah, it is, and you basically have to be pretty devoted. And a lot of people take shortcuts. I mean, it's like anything in life. Nothing's for free. If you want to be a good board certified plastic surgeon, it takes 15 years of training out beyond your high school. Now, you can mm-hmm. take shortcuts, but it's no different than you. If you wanted to have heart surgery, are you going to want to have a heart surgeon that went through the vigorous, 12 to 14 years of training, or do you want somebody that's only had 5 years of training? And that's a pretty simple, question to answer. But unfortunately, so many people get fooled and, have cosmetic surgery by untrained physicians.
I am so impressed with your credentials and what you are doing and what you have done, because as you said, you're dedicated to your profession. This is Larry Elliott once again, Blog Talk Radio. We on the line live here with Dr. Michael Nicoli out of Southern California. Doctor, how can our audience get in touch with you, particularly the ones that are there on the West Coast? In Southern California, could you please give us maybe a phone number or maybe your website?
Yeah, our website will give you all the information that you need, and that's Cosmeticare, C CosmeteCare, CosmeteCare.com. And we have a 1-800-95-IMAGE is our telephone number, 1-800-95-IMAGE. And they can ask our consultants. We have a great area. We're right on the water in Newport Beach, and we have great consultants, and our staff treat you like family. So anybody around that would just come in for a consultation, they don't have to have surgery, and get educated.
I think that's a very good idea. Education appears to me to be the key to this type of surgery.
You're exactly right, Doctor.
Yeah, education. That's very good that you and your staff, tell our guests to do that, because that's very important. Let me ask you something. What are some of the most popular surgical procedures that you do in your practice?
Today, the most, if you're talking about non-surgical or Botox, fillers like Restylane and Juvederm, and lasers. Laser resurfacing is one of the most popular things in the country. The lasers are amazing today, from hair removal to resurfacing to removing varicose veins. There are numerous things that lasers can do today. And if a good plastic surgeon has the training, he has all those in his armamentarium to treat the patients as needed. But now when you get into surgical procedures, what are our most popular surgical procedures? Well, in California, women most often will have breast surgery, whether it's a breast enhancement, a breast lift, or a breast reduction. We do a lot of liposuction and a lot of facial procedures, whether it's a nose. I'm board certified in ear, nose, and throat also, so I do a lot of nose surgeries, whether it's for breathing problems or combination of breathing and cosmetic. So we have a staff and physicians that at CosmeteCare that we're able to help people in all aspects of cosmetic surgery, from liposuction to breast. But those are the two most probably most popular, are the breast and the liposuction.
Okay. We have another tweet here from a young lady by the name of Jennifer Stokes, and Jennifer is in San Diego, California. And doctor, she wants to know, with breast augmentation, what would be better for a person? Would it be silicone or maybe saline? And I don't know anything about either one of them, so you may want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, there are basically in this country, there's only two manufacturers, Mentor Corporation, which is owned by Johnson & Johnson, and Allergan. So there are only two manufacturers, and both have saline and both have silicone.
Mm-hmm.
Today, for the first time in 50 years, the Federal Drug Administration, after vigorous research, have approved silicone implants. Silicone now is a solid material. It's no longer a liquid. It is probably the state of the art in cosmetic breast surgery and reconstructive surgery for cancer victims. It's replacing saline implants anymore. One of the biggest problems with saline, it feels like a water balloon. It lasts only 10 to 12 years, and silicone lasts anywhere from 10 to 25 years. So the longevity is better in silicone, the feel is better, and the newer style technology is superior to the old liquid silicone. It's a much safer implant. And your surgeon, wherever you're at, make sure your surgeon is using these and the right style, because there's different styles from low profile to high profile, and you can pick that up on the internet if you want to get educated on that. But make sure your surgeon is, most often putting the implants underneath the muscle so you can detect cancer in the future.
Okay.
It's easier to detect cancer. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, we just had another tweet in here. This person was listening to what you were saying, and she says her grandmom is 63 years of age, and this is her quote. This is what she says. She said her grandma has lost her mind. She's thinking about having a breast implant or maybe a breast augmentation, and she wanted to know, the granddaughter, Jennifer, wanted to know here, what is the age limit? Can a person stop at maybe 65, or can they go to 70? How old or how young should one be before they have these type of procedures?
And that's a tricky question, because there are I see a lot of people that are in their 80s that are very, very alert, very bright, very active, still play tennis at 80 years old. Well, how can you deny that patient? If they're in a wheelchair, if they're in a nursing home, and that's a complete different story. You cannot categorize. You can't generalize. You have to take each individual. I have some 30-year-olds that I refuse to put implants in because I don't think they're stable. So I think the question is, a good ethical surgeon should make determination after he interviews the patient, sees what their activities are, and seeing what their gains are. Oftentimes I'll get a 20-year-old that wants to have breast augmentation because her boyfriend left her and she wants to become more popular. Well, that's the wrong reason. And that's a patient that a good surgeon should deny. That you have to know what their gains are. Do they just want to look better? Do they want to be enhanced and they just want to feel a little better about themselves? Then that's a good patient. So again, can't generalize. You have to see each individual patient and see what their needs are.
Okay, that's a great answer. I agree with that. We're talking to Dr. Michael Nicoli from Newport Beach, California, and he's given us some good information about plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery. You can get in contact with our guest today at cosmeticcare.com, and that number is 895-IMAGE. And he or his staff, someone there, will be able to assist you. And you can give them a call, set up a consultation. The thing that you need to do is to become educated. And, Doctor, this is one of the things that I'm so happy that you are doing. You are giving us some good information, because a lot of people probably will want to do a procedure like this and just go into it not knowing the facts. Do you find that to be the case in a lot of instances?
Oh, absolutely. There are so many patients that will go to another surgeon or do a consultation, and then once they come to our facility or another facility equivalent to ours that has the staff and has the training in the background, that will teach you and educate you to see if you're a candidate for that procedure. Not everybody's a candidate for a facelift. Not everybody's a candidate for a breast aug. And if you go to a good ethical surgeon that has good training, he should tell you that.
I see. Let me ask you this. What about males? Do you have many male patients that come in and want some type of procedure? And if so, what type of a procedure is most popular among men?
Well, there are a lot of male patients. We have about, and again, don't forget, predominantly 85 to 90% are women. But more and more men are starting to have surgery at this point, and a lot of them are having just laser for resurfacing, laser hair removal, hair transplants, very popular in our office. We also do a lot of liposuctions and nose jobs, which are called rhinoplasties. But now, don't forget, the more we're educating people, men are coming in and wanting to look good in their workforce, so they'll have eyelid surgery, so they look a little more, alert, more youthful. So they're having a lot of the similar procedures other than breast augmentation, but they're having a lot of the similar cosmetic procedures of the face, because they want to be enhanced. They want to look good also.
Well, here's another email we got in from a guy by the name of Thurman Hicks. And what he said he liked the idea of a male looking good at work. He said because he thinks that this can actually help a male as far as their professional career. And I guess that's a very good point. You agree?
Oh, I think it's extremely important. We have in my office, anybody that's been working for me over a year, we give them a significant discount on their surgery, because it's like anywhere else. If you go into an office, somebody looks grumpy and tired and baggy eyes, then that's a reflection of your whole office. You want people. not everybody's a 10. Not everybody's handsome. Not everybody's beautiful. But you want to enhance what they have to a maximum. And that's easy to do. I mean, a good plastic surgeon can enhance anybody.
That's wonderful. Let me ask you this, doctor. Say, for instance, if someone come into your office and they have had some health problems, let's say maybe, I don't know, maybe some heart problems or whatever, do you do any type of preoperative medical clearance before you would actually complete a procedure on a person?
Yeah, that's a perfect question. Anybody over 45 will get a medical clearance. We have an affiliation with a cardiology group, which is about a half a mile from our office. And everybody that has any health issues or is over the age of 45 will get a medical clearance.
Mm-hmm.
In 30 years, over 100,000 patients, we've never lost a patient. So I think that's extremely important. And you've seen on that, and I won't mention names, but recently patients have had complications with deaths during surgery and stuff. Yeah. So you just can't take that chance. This is elective surgery. People come in happy. They want to leave happy. So you want to make sure they're in excellent, excellent health.
Okay. Now, this is a tweet from a young lady. Her name is Mary Ann. She's got a question, doctor, that I guess nobody could answer but you. Maybe she knows a little bit about this. She wanted to know, what is urogynecology surgery? What is that?
Urogynecology. We have a urogynecologist. And the nice thing about us here in California on cosmetic care at our facility, where, again, I'm the medical director, I have hired several surgeons. We have a whole gamma of plastic surgeons. We also have a bariatric group surgeons for lap banding and gastric bypass, but we also have what's called a urogynecologist. There are women that have had children and that are having problems with their bladder, and when they sneeze or cough, they pass urine. Women that have been married and have had five kids and want a little rejuvenation and tightening. Women that have excess tissue hanging from the vaginal area, which is called the labia. We can do labiaplasties, tightening procedures, supportive procedures for bladder or even the rectum can be herniated through the vagina. So he specializes in the vaginal and rectal area to not only rejuvenate but bring it back to a normal state. So that's a really intriguing field. You know, it's not my specialty, but we have a urogynecologist that's well-trained at our facility. And, again, you can pick that up on our website at, you know, cosmeticcare.com.
Okay.
So we do have that. Did that answer your question on that?
Yeah, she said yes, it did. She said because she, matter of fact, she said she's had six children. I guess that's the primary reason that she had an interest in that. Marianne, that's a very, very interesting question. And one of the things, too, doctor, that you, it seems as if in your office you have such an array of specialists, of people in your office who can handle just about any type of situation that comes across. This is the reason that they need to give you a call, particularly there in the Southern California area. And let me ask this. Now, this is something that's really, really popular, I guess, among women and men. You know, there's all kinds of things out there now to lose weight and weight loss and all this type of thing. What about weight loss surgery? What is the procedure for that, and how popular is that?
We have a special, well-trained bariatric, it's called bariatric surgeon. That's a surgeon that allocates his life and his surgery toward patients that are overweight. He has a great team. He has a psychiatrist that works with you. He has a nutritionist, and then he's the surgeon that does, whether it's bypass surgery, whether it's lap band, which is a small little incision that takes 45 minutes to an hour, and they put a ring around your tummy so you can't eat as much. And we have a gentleman that's been doing some advertising for us right now that lost already 50 pounds in 2 months. And his name is Todd, and you'll pick him up on our website. But this is a nice, slick, quick operation. But, again, you need a supportive team. You need the nutritionist. You need the psychiatrist or psychologist. And, plus, you need a great surgeon. And we, again, that's what I we offer here at our facility. We, it's like a multidisciplinary service, from the lasers to skin care to urogynecologist to anything in the cosmetic world to make a person feel good about themselves and their health.
How many people do you have on your staff?
We have about, how many? 15? About 15 people. Actually, 20 if you include all the surgeons.
Wow. That's remarkable, Doctor. That is remarkable. This is the reason why that we wanted to have you on as a guest, because, you know, we interview people from all over the world, but you have been one of the most detailed and knowledgeable people in your profession that I've seen, because I like your approach. I like how you educate people, the way you're educating our audience today. That's the primary reason that I want them to contact you in California, particularly Southern California. Go to your website at cosmeticcare.com, Doc. Is that it?
Yes, cosmeticcare.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I would really encourage my listeners to go there. We have an international call here from Canada. And this particular person wanted to know, why would someone go to your clinic or your practice as opposed to somebody who may be cheaper or somebody who may offer maybe a better deal as far as money is concerned? I think we've already answered that question, but you may want to reiterate that again.
Yeah, I don't think somebody should be looking when you're going to do your face. Look at Michael Jackson, for instance. If you're going to have your face operated on, and you're going to live with that for the rest of your life, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to come to me at Cosmetic Care Newport Beach, California. It means that you should do your homework and look and make sure your surgeon's board certified by the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. Make sure he's been in practice for 10 years. Make sure he's got the credentials. Look at his photographs and talk to people. I mean, yes, I've been in practice for 30 years, and I get patients from all over the country and out of the country. I just did a patient from England yesterday, but not yesterday, Friday. But again, that means nothing. You should be able to find a good surgeon in your area that's as well qualified as myself. But number one, number two is, don't look at the price as much as you look at the quality of work he does. I mean, you're going to pay maybe a little extra for me because I've been out there for 30 years and I've done, you know, 10,000 breaths. But, you know, you don't want to go to a surgeon that only does one or two a month. It's not, you know, and I always relate it back to the heart. This is something that's going to kill you or you could survive. Are you going to go to a cardiologist and have a heart transplant or bypass with a surgeon that's only does one heart a month? No, heck no. I want a surgeon that does two a day. So experience,
I agree with you.
Experience is very important. But board certification and training are as important. So, yes, look at fees, and I'm sure fees are cheaper, you know, in some states than they are in California. But don't forget how many surgical procedures do they do where you're going? That's the only question
right.
I would ask. There are a lot of good surgeons throughout the world and throughout the country. But, you know, I always, whenever I look at it, if I'm going to look for an attorney, if I'm going to look for a real estate agent, I want the best. So I'm going to do my homework, and I'll find one in my area, but I want the best.
You know, Doctor, I would actually recommend to my guests, listen, if you are thinking about this type of surgery or this type of procedure, based on what we know about Dr. Michael Nicoli now and his website, and we did our research as far as prep work, I highly would recommend that they actually fly out to your clinic, because this is something that you really need to know what you're getting into. So he has 30 years plus experience in this field, and I highly recommend that if you are considering this, whether you're in Southern California or in Louisville, Kentucky, that you actually go out for a consultation, because this is something that's very, very important. Doctor, we have about 25 seconds left.
And they can call our consultants and get some information right over the phone. They're very experienced. And they help pay for your, I mean, if you do, because we do have a lot of people out of state. I mean, we give you a compensation for that on your flights and stuff and room, and we have nice places. So, you know, just give them a call and talk to them. You don't have to come here, but just at least make a call.
That is wonderful. Doctor, I would love to have you back on our show because there's so much more I would love to cover with you, but due to time restraints, we don't have time. But would you be willing to come back sometime in the near future? Because this is intriguing to me and my guests.
Yeah, I'd love to. Just have your listeners get some great questions, and I'd love to come back on and ask some of those so to educate them hopefully a little more even. Yeah,
this sounds great.
A pleasure.
We have several questions that we didn't get to. We have several people who would like to ask some very good, I think, detailed questions. But we will have you back on WFYT Blog Talk Radio because you have been a very interesting guest. We've been on the air live with Dr. Michael Nicoli from Newport Beach, California, a noted plastic surgeon, not only there in that area, but throughout the country. Doctor, we want to thank you so much for your time. And thank you for what you do for your many patients. And thank you for educating our audience.
Okay. Thank you very much, Larry, and hope to talk to you soon.
All right, sir. Have a great afternoon. Larry Elliott, Blog Talk Radio, WFYT Blog Talk, broadcasting from Nashville, Tennessee, 33 million listeners strong. Join us tomorrow where we'll have another interesting show with another interesting professional. This is Larry Elliott, Blog Talk Radio. Have a great, great day.